I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Very happy now to be joined by the Gloucester Police Chief, Ed Conley. Chief, welcome to MSO.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
All righty. Glad to hear that. That sounds terrific. By the way, now, is this your second year in Gloucester? You've already had your first anniversary, haven't you?
I have, correct. I'm on my second year. It was a year and back in April.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little over a year and a half into it.
Well, you know, I got to ask you right off the bat. You get into Gloucester, and I know you know the region so well, but the effect of COVID, I want to start first on how you have dealt with it in terms of running a police department, Chief, and then how things are in Gloucester. But I know, I'm guessing the first thing you probably had to encounter was staffing problems?
Well, we didn't necessarily encounter staffing problems as much as we worked diligently to put in place protocols that would keep our staff safe. And sort of, playing off the analogy of a ship at sea, the idea of compartmentalization of our staff. So if one person or more than one person ended up infected and contagious, it wouldn't necessarily run through our entire department. So some of the ways we did that was to identify as many positions as we possibly could that could be made remote, mm-hmm. whether completely remote or part-time remote or offsetting schedules. And surprisingly, we were able to have a lot of success with that. We were able to give some of our admin staff, actually all of our admin staff, laptops, which then Officer Bushy, who runs sort of our computer here and our IT program internally, set them up so that they could remote into our system and do their jobs. And they were very successful at doing that, and with no loss in productivity.
That's amazing.
It's
cool.
Not surprising that's when you really stop to think about it, but it falls into one of those things that, but this is the way we've always done it, and so
yep.
The idea of working remotely may not work.
Chief, I got to ask when you came to Gloucester, I know that there's a learning period for everybody, as it would be in any new position. But you also have ideas, you have programs, you have things that you want to implement. I'm asking you. Now, some of those things that you want to do and that you want to bring into Gloucester or at least introduce, are they sort of put on the back burner for now, or are you able to incorporate them with this the pandemic stuff that we're trying to handle? Because it's a day-to-day thing. It changes from day-to-day sometimes, and I'm sure it's affected some of the objectives that you want to achieve.
Well, true, and that's a great point. I did come here with some ideas, and I'm a firm believer that it's the job of any official, whether it's a new superintendent or police chief or fire chief, to come with some. We all come with our history and our knowledge and our training, but also you have to understand that every community is different. So you want to be able to pick and choose from a sort of, toolbox to the types of programs that would best fit a particular community. So what works, here in Gloucester may not work in Manchester. What worked in Manchester may not work where I originally came from in Chelsea. And so the first several months, 9 months or so, is first of all, listening to the people that work here within the police department and their experience, and listen to the community. And that's how we sort of develop our roadmap, but not just me in a vacuum with all my ideas ready to impart wisdom on everybody.
Yep.
Really about listening to what's going on, what the problems are, and then as a team here and as a team with the community, developing the solutions based on what I said before about our experiences. So, COVID, in terms of how it affected that, it certainly slowed things down. It just like anything, but that's not uncommon in policing, where there's administrative goals, there's policy goals, there are programming goals you have, but at the same time, there are things happening on the street. We've dealt with some serious cases since I've been here, and that can take time, and then you kind of reset and stay at it. So I think it's delayed things, but we're still moving on. I mean, community impact unit, getting that up and running. Tito Rodriguez hitting the street and, you know, encountering and developing a relationship with people suffering from addiction and homelessness. I mean, all those things occurred at the same time, but it does feel a little bit like building an aircraft in flight sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like having a football game plan and then just tearing it up and going by the seat of your pants. I'm sure it's done that, and I'm sure it's done that in some different. You know, now you come from the mainland, and now you're over on the island, and you mentioned the community impact unit, cops and kids, so much going on, and with the political climate, Chief, it seems like your department is out ahead of the curve in terms of dealing with the community in so many different ways. And of course, you brought in, I call him the Wonder Dog, but you brought in Ace, the comfort dog, with Peter Officer Scola, and Lieutenant LaCastro is working with the kids, Mike Scola working with the kids. That kind of thing sort of defuses the dynamite before it's ever lit, doesn't it?
Well, I agree. I mean, that Ace, so I would just say that Ace wasn't my idea. It came, Peter Cetera, Officer Cetera came to me months ago and said that he had heard about this happening in another community, and that he had experienced it in a job he had previously, working in a school for kids who had emotional behavioral problems, and saw the benefits of de-escalation and these specially trained dogs, you know, what they bring to the table when it comes to that. And so it was made a lot of sense at the time, and this was right at the beginning of COVID, and I was like, Pete, you got to do me a favor. I love the idea. Let's revisit this in a few months and figure out where we're at. You know, it's easy now, of course, with COVID to look back and say, hey, we've been okay so far, but we didn't know what this was going to look like back in the beginning. So he did. You know, he put on the back burner, but at the same time, he did a little bit more research. He found some funding mechanisms, and he came back to me a few weeks ago. And when I spoke to the mayor about it, she was like, yes. Absolutely, let's go, let's do this, let's get it done tomorrow. And it really happened quick. But the community impact unit overall has been a home run for us. And so what I loved about Gloucester is Gloucester has a long history of doing that type of programming. You know, the Angel program was here before I got here. We have tremendous community support with, you know, non-governmental agencies here in Gloucester, to include Action Inc. and One Stop, Addison Gilbert Hospital. So it was, what I was interested in doing is, first of all, organizing all that work under, you know, sort of traditional methods of communication and accountability. So creating a structure around it by making it its own unit and holding individual officers and supervisors responsible for getting the work done. And then, you know, figuring out a work plan and building up those relationships. Mm-hmm. So I created the community impact unit. Lieutenant Castro had a long history of working with a lot of these organizations. He had rapport that he had built up with them through our high-risk task force. Former Chief McCarthy, now Councilor McCarthy, had launched the Cops and Kids program and kind of was just getting that up and running when he retired. So the bits and pieces were all there. Bringing it all together is what Lieutenant Castro was tasked to do, and he did. And none of us could have foreseen the type of climate we'd find ourselves in, not only in a pandemic, but then certainly the movement that's occurred across the country, calling into question police tactics, and having that unit already up and running was tremendously satisfying on my part.
I'm glad to hear that because,
for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I know so many of these guys. They're former students of mine and, you know, police officers all over the North Shore. I know a lot of them, and it's just, it's great to have that connection with community and being a former teacher with kids especially. I think that's awesome. And you mentioned funding, Chief. You got the funding for ACE, but you also, got a recent grant from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. You want to mention that for a second?
Yeah, we did. So we are qualified just based on our population and citation reports and accident reports. We qualify through the state for this to apply for this highway grant. This is not the first time we've received it. I think we received it several months ago. Well, it might have been last year as well. And what this grant allows us to do is to dedicate officers on overtime to specific themed enforcement activities. So the state picks the theme, so it might be, you know, driving away drugged, or it could be seatbelts, it could be speeding, and we could dedicate officers to work outside of their normal schedule just to focus on those types of traffic problems. And what's been really helpful, as you may have seen them around Gloucester, through support from the mayor's office and money given to us by city council, we're able to purchase a signboard, which is also a speed tracker, and then a separate speed board that we can tow around at different so-called hotspots for traffic violations. And we use that data that we collect from these two boards to decide when and where we place these traffic officers. Oh, wow. So it's not just spitballing it. We're really trying to be informed and data-driven. And those two tools help us do that.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. And it's nice to know that the Gloucester Police Department's in the 21st century. That's really good. I like that.
Well, we're tiptoeing in. I can say that.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And, you know, the other thing was the two little electric cars, you know, that the resource officers have. That's cool. And to see that stuff and people working, you know, the advertisers from outside, not advertisers, but supporters like Lionel Wall and so on. Before my final question, Chief, I just want to ask you a quick question about accreditation. Is that something that, I don't know, is it automatic? You just apply for it? How does that work with police departments? Because I see that coming and going all the time. What's that about, and where does Gloucester stand with that?
Sure. So accreditation is a program that you voluntarily enter, and it's run. There's a national accreditation, there's a state accreditation. So the state accreditation is a committee made up of chiefs of police and civilians who select standards that all so-called accredited police departments should meet. And those standards change every year based on national best practices. And it's really about policy. It's really about building safety and just good practice. So there's two levels, certification being the first one, where I think it's 125 standards have to be met by policy. You have once you feel like you've met those standards, outside certifiers, they come in and assess you and make sure it's a day-long event. Sometimes it could be 2 days, and they do a basic, you know, top-to-bottom inspection of your policy, of your building, to make sure you meet these standards. And if you do, they recommend to the board that you receive first-level certification, and then the next level, by adding several more standards, is accreditation. You may know that when I was in Manchester, we went from zero to hero within 2 years. So we went from no certification whatsoever to being certified and then accredited within 2 years. And that is a great testament to Todd Fitzgerald, who's the chief there now, his work with an officer, Ryan Machane, who I sort of, you know, kind of gave some broad strokes about what this should look like and what should be done, and wrote a lot of policy and updated a lot of policy with them, but they really pulled it across the finish line. So in a place like Manchester, you can be a little bit more nimble. It's a much smaller department, a little less going on in terms of day-to-day outside operations. Here in Gloucester, it is certainly something I want to do. And the reason why I wanted to do it in Manchester, I did it in Manchester, and want to do it here, is because these best practices are things you're supposed to be doing anyway. You know, the good policy, the stuff, the latest, you know, training, the way we track, the way we document, the way we care for equipment, the way the building's designed and utilized, these things are supposed to be done anyway. So all certification accreditation really says is it's an outside third party stamping and saying, yeah, Manchester police do it the right way. The Gloucester police do it the right way.
Okay. Well, maybe that.
Where we're at for that, I mean, we have good policy in place. We're just actually at the beginning of the new year going to deploy a new policy management software that allows us to track hand received policy to individuals. We are a little bit held back just by this building.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to mention that. If that brings you a brand new building, man, I'm all for that.
I don't know about that. But we are on track. We are up in the batter's box for a renovation inside. Some talks around that have already begun. There's some design that's been done. It's not going to be it's not a new building. It's not even a huge facelift for this building, but it will provide us some basic things that are required by accreditation certification.
Well, you know, you may have to have a touch football game against the fire department to see who gets the first upgrade, right? Good Lord. Chief, a couple of quick questions, very quick one here. Are police scheduled to get the vaccine at some point soon?
I don't think I could say scheduled, but I could say that the state has put in place, and I was on a Zoom meeting today with the Board of Health, Gloucester Board of Health, about it. We are applying to be a site, a vaccination site, and that's what the state requires. It requires you to apply so you can demonstrate your ability to care for the vaccine and administer it in a safe and effective way. So certainly Karen Carroll, who's the head of our Board of Health, has done just an outstanding job of taking a department that's not typically at the tip of the spear when it comes to incident management and really turning it into that. And she has a plan for it. She's applying to the state to be a vaccination site. We hope to be up and running maybe the first or second week of January. And based on federal guidelines, first responders, so including police and fire and some others, will be vaccinated within the first 2 weeks of January. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm. That's a good plan. I like that. That's great. Yeah. You guys put yourselves in peril every day, so that would be good. Finally, Chief, a real character, as you know, when you came onto the island, we have characters on this island, and one of them is another former student of mine, Scott Duffany, whom I've known for many, many years, but he's so well known in the community. He's such a great, great help to everyone in the community, whoever needs it. But played a little bit of the hero the other day. You want to mention that?
Yeah, no, he was. And it's, you know what? That's not the first, third, or fifth time that he's been a little bit of a hero since I've been here. First of all, anybody that knows Duff or listens or has a scanner at home knows Duff. You know, his radio / wrestling announcer voice comes across nice, smooth, and look. Before I even say what he just did, Duff is a go-to guy. In fact, when I go out here, we have a thing called FTO program, a field training officer program. So when you first graduate from the police academy, like most professions, you know, if you talk to a lawyer, they'll tell you you don't learn anything in law school. You got to learn it all, you know, on the street, basically, mm-hmm. going into courts and stuff. Same is true of policing. You learn some basic stuff in the academy. What you learn is when you get to the street. So we make all our new recruits go through a month of FTO program with a specially trained police officer. They ride along together, and they work on skills throughout the month. I have a special place for Officer Duffany in our FTO program, and I did come up with a name of it. I can't remember what it is right now, but it basically is like, you know, tools of the trade kind of two-day that you ride with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he communicates with people, the way he develops a rapport with people, the way people call upon him to help problem solve in what some may call like an old school way of policing, to really just get down and know who the players are and to talk to them and get people and mediate problems. Like you can't teach that. Someone has to see it happen to understand how that's done. And then they have to work on their own way of doing it, because Duff has perfected that art and no one else could do it like him. And so we had a house fire a couple of days ago, and Officer Duffany was working the day watch and got the call and immediately responded and without hesitation grabbed a extinguisher, got everybody out of the building, was able to start knocking the fire down just as the Gloucester Fire Department arrived, and did such a nice job that Chief Eric Smith from the fire department texted me personally, wanted to tell me he was including Duff in the press release, that they were very impressed with his heroism in running into that fire and getting everybody out. So no surprise to me at all that it was him, but always a great reflection on the Gloucester Police Department.
Absolutely, and I can say without hesitation, Chief, I'm a newcomer. I've only been here 60 years. I'm still a newcomer to the island. But I can tell you, Scott represents so many of the guys that you have there, and it's a great team that you have under you. I'm glad to hear it. Thank you so much for taking the time, Chief. I hope we can do this, you know, maybe once a season. I don't want to bother you, but I can't be the first to welcome you to Gloucester, but I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I love doing these. They're really nice to do when there's nothing super serious going on, that I feel like I need to be out there getting the word out. It's nice to just have a conversation and an update about what we're doing here at the Gloucester Police Department.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chief. Merry Christmas to you, and by all means, stay safe.
Thank you so much, and same to you and your family.
Thank you, Chief. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is Gloucester Police Chief Ed Conley. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.